song. It's wonderful to have some here. And so it's wonderful. And I know we're going to get some this week as well. So I know Johnny Jackson has really been praying for that more snow. And because in Arizona, they don't get much, I guess. So, but we're glad you're here today and you made it through. I know a lot of our churches postponed or canceled. And we just, in town here, it's not as much as maybe some of you guys who drove a distance today. Was the road sketchy where any of you drove from? Anybody? Jimmy, how are you up in Springbrook? James, they were okay? Yeah. Ours were good. When I left this morning, it really hadn't even started snowing at my house. So, but thank you for being here. And enjoy the afternoon. And, you know, stay warm and dry. And God is good. So, I don't know if my batteries are dying or no, I'm good here. I'm cutting in and out. it's all right. as we started the year off, we looked at our new theme for this year, Focus on the One. And we'll finish it up today. We may revisit that as well through the year. But as we focus on the One, it's not necessarily just the 21. It's not necessarily just Jesus. It's not necessarily just the lost. It may be any number of things that we want to focus our attention on this year. And as I have not really done this in recent times, I'd like to speak on the ordinances of the church. And for those of you who are new to our church, you might understand why we call them ordinances. And if you've been here a long time, it's a good reminder for all of us as well. And so and we're going to have a water baptismal service this morning, as well as we're going to serve Holy Communion. And so those are our two ordinances. Now, we don't call them sacraments. A lot of churches qualify things as sacraments. And a sacrament is an act where God gives extra grace or gives special grace through the act. And we look at the baptism and Holy Communion as ordinances. They are something that God has given to us as a symbol for our faith to be expressed. And so it's not an act of grace given by God. So we don't believe that water baptism saves a person, nor do we believe communion saves a person. If we believe water baptism saves a person, then this tub of holy water that we have here, I will take a hose attached to it and spray down everybody that walks past the church. If that was the case, you know, if they come by in their car and their windows are down, I might be able to get them with that as well. And if the idea of baptism saves a person, then let's wet as many people as possible. You know, in history, the church has done that from time to time. In 1492, we all know in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? So that happened. But also in 1492, there was something called the Spanish Inquisition. And in the Spanish Inquisition, they actually baptized Jews to convert them. And just because somebody is dunked doesn't mean they're converted, you know? And nor does it mean just because a person is dunked doesn't mean they're saved. But there's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it. And the same thing is true with Holy Communion. I mean, with communion, if communion really saves a person, then ask for some extras, take it home, bake some brownies for your neighbors, stick some communion in there, and share them. But that's not how it works, you know? So so we call them ordinances. And listen, a church that calls them sacraments, we're not casting a stone at them. I'm just telling you how what we believe. And so it's okay what they believe, and that's fine. They can practice what they believe as well, and I'll encourage them to do that. But this is how we believe. Now, truth be told, when we serve communion later on, and you take, if you didn't get communion when you came in, you want to grab some on before our communion service, you know. There are folks who believe. They tell me, well, Pastor Dave, I still believe that it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And if that's okay, that's fine. It's not going to bother me. We'll take it together. And so, but we'll talk about that a little bit as we come closer to that, okay? So thank you for being here. And it's wonderful to share communion with all of you. You know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be perfect to receive communion, because if you did, none of us could receive, right? And communion is all about our faith in what Jesus has done. It's the work he did on the cross. And I mean, let's face it. The reality is, like the Apostle Paul said, I know that in my flesh no good dwells, right? That's the reality. So each of us are trophies of God's grace, in that God's grace has been given to people, a sinner such as I. And the Apostle Paul, as he goes on in ministry, of course, you know, he starts out demanding, you know, defending his apostleship, and by the end of his ministry, he calls himself the chiefest of sinners because he understood how God's grace works in our lives and that none of us are perfect, but thank God for his grace that's given to us. Amen? So let's look at baptism here from the Gospels. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, we have Jesus' baptism. And so the writer Matthew tells us about this baptism and really gives us a great insight into it. In verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" So as we look at religion in Jesus' day, so he's born into, and we know that according to the book of Galatians, Jesus is born at the right time that God had. So it says that at the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So Jesus comes into this religious institution called Judaism. And it was an amazing thing to see. They had an incredible temple. The temple was a magnificent building. In the temple, there are people dressed in all sorts of religious garments. And so, you know, the people who were really religious had really religious garments. And the people who were not so religious, well, they just dressed like you and I. And then, you know, there was this constant stream of animals being brought into the temple to be sacrificed. And so there was the sounds, there was the smells, there was the commotion of the temple. And it was a lot of religion. It was religion to the max. But it was lifeless. There was no life in it. And the same thing is true today. When we have religion without life, it's death. There's just no life to it. And so in this religion that is being institutionalized now, it's perfected in Judaism, all right? Religion is perfected in Judaism in Jesus' day. There comes this guy on the scene. Some half year before Jesus is born, his cousin John is born. And John blows up religion. He comes on the scene, and number one, he's not a priest. He's not of the tribe of Levi. He is from the tribe, you know, the tribe of Joseph or of Judah. I'll get one of them right. And he doesn't dress like a religious guy. So like the religious people have all these beautiful robes on, and there's like bells and tassels on them. John wears camel skin and goat's hair. It sounds pretty itchy to me, I mean, you know, personally, all right? And that he doesn't eat regular food. He doesn't eat, like, religious food. He eats locusts and wild honey. Now, we're going to have a breed of locusts this year for the first time. The cicadas are coming. The 17-year cicadas are going to come back this year. How many of you are looking forward to that? How many of you want your houses covered with cicadas, right? Do you know they're very highly edible? They are. They're high in protein, and in a lot of parts of the world, people eat stuff like that. Okay, so locusts are high. So John the Baptist, this is what the guy ate. He ate cicadas, locusts, grasshoppers. This is what he ate, and wild honey. And let me tell you, how many of you like, I eat honey every day in my house. I have it. I get it in a jar. I don't ask bees for it. When you have wild honey, you get it from wild bees. They don't like their honey being taken. All right, and so I can imagine John, from time to time, not only did he dress funny, was he eating like he had like some bug's leg sticking out of his teeth, but he, am I making that up? I might be. That's very possible. That's right. I'm just imagining it in my mind. And he got stung by wild bees. Okay, so he probably had like a couple bumps on his face every so often. You know what I'm saying? He was not your average. Like, this is the kind of guy that is a religious guy. But he blew up the religion by coming with a baptism of repentance. And now all of a sudden in Judaism, it's faced with this idea that we're supposed to repent before God. And remember, just earlier than this, John sees Jesus coming down the hill into the Jordan River there. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And then Jesus comes to John and says, "Would you baptize me?" I mean, think about this. I mean, John knew who Jesus was. He was his cousin. He knew that this was the Lamb of God. And he says, hey, I should be baptized by you. But he consented because Jesus told him he needed to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so Jesus went and fulfilled all the steps of the law to fulfill it so that we don't have to. It can be fulfilled through him in our lives. Amen? Amen. So when he's baptized and he goes down into the water and he comes back up out of the water, the heavens open. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove, but he came down fluttering like a dove and rested on Jesus. And then a voice from heaven, the Father, said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, this is a great teaching as well. If you look at that, it shows the triune nature of God. Because there are some Christians who believe that God is one God, that he is only Jesus. And he's only manifested in one at a time. At this time, we see God the Father there, God the Son, and God the Spirit all at the same time. All right? And the beautiful thing about the Trinity, the triunity of God, is that they are unified. They are always on the same page. They're a picture of unity. And so there is God himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all being God, being there together at that time. All right, and so it's a beautiful, beautiful scene. So obedience and baptism opens the heavens for us as well. And so there's, I think, three people getting baptized here today: Don, Timmy, and Lauren. Okay, so I have no reason to believe that. Oh, and Gloria too. Oh, Don and Gloria. Oh, thank you. All right, that's awesome. That's good. Husband and wife. That's great. Getting baptized together. So I have no reason to believe that. As they are baptized, that heaven will not open up something additional for them as well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no reason to believe this, to believe that that won't happen. Because that's what Jesus did. I mean, that was the template that he gave us, was when he was baptized, the heavens opened. So when you're going to be baptized, say, I have no reason not to believe that the heavens will also be open for you as well. All right? And so as they do that, the Spirit rests upon us. I've seen this many times. There was a young woman that I baptized here maybe 3 years ago. She came up out of the water. She was shaking like a leaf. It wasn't because, now the water's a little cool today. I just want to let you know. We put a heater in there, but I don't know, the heater isn't working real well. So it's a little cool, but you're only going to be in there for a short period of time. I'll be in there longer. It's okay. It's all right. But she was shaking, and it wasn't because she was cold. She was shaking because the Holy Spirit was literally on this young woman, and she's shaking. And I can't stop shaking. That's right, it's because the Holy Spirit, he's on you. There's no reason to believe for that not to happen as well, you know? And the Father expresses his pleasure over us. As he says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," he's well pleased over you as well as you're baptized today, all right? And the end of the old life is gone. And so for many of you, perhaps, this is a fresh start, a new start for you guys spiritually in what God has for you in the days to come. A life of new Spirit-led purpose can begin from this point, all right? And let me just say this as well. So, like, for many of you, you're like, oh, Pastor, have I heard this before? I've been down this road. I got the T-shirts. You know, I got the baptism T-shirt. I've been baptized. I was baptized in 1974. That's a long time. That's more than some of you have been alive. In fact, it's longer than many of you have been alive, all right? In fact, how many of you were not born yet in 1974? Yeah. All right. So I was baptized before you guys were born. All right. So in the same tank here, right here. The tank didn't look as nice, though. This has a nice fiberglass insert. I think we got that after I got baptized. But the reality is this. When I see a baptism service, I relive my baptism. You know what I'm saying? Wow, 53. Wow, that's long before I was born. So there we go. So 2 years ago, we were in Puerto Rico, and we were at Luquillo Beach. Luquillo Beach is this beautiful beach on the eastern shore of Puerto Rico. Like, the Caribbean Ocean is right there. It's gorgeous. And so, anybody ever been to Luquillo Beach? Anybody from Puerto Rico? Yeah, well, obviously we have. All right, so we're there, and like, And like Heather and Pastor Heather, Pastor John, Laura, they're sitting in the chairs on beautiful Okeo Beach, and the kids are playing in the sand. And I'm looking, and there's all these people down the beach, like a quarter mile down the beach. You guys remember? So what do? I wander. I want, because the closer I get to them, I realize this is a church having a baptism in the ocean. It was beautiful. And so there was all these people. There had to be like 60, 70 people. They had a picnic there that day, and they did a baptism in the ocean like we do at when we do our picnic up at Camp Lackawanna, you know. And so I went over, and I started talking to some of them, and a couple of them spoke a little bit of English. And so I said, I'm a pastor from Pennsylvania. We're down here just relaxing. And they said, oh, come to our church. They were in Carolina, which was like an hour drive and everything. But it was wonderful to watch them. When I see somebody get baptized, man, I relive my baptism, you know? And so, you know, maybe you've been baptized here today, and you're like, this is old hat. I should have stayed home today. No, this is time for you to look and see where God has brought you since you were baptized, you know, and see the glory that God has poured in your life as well, all right? And so let's look at some Old Testament examples of baptism here. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter writes to us, and he talks about this Old Testament. Now, remember, we said they didn't baptize in the Old Testament. This was something new that, like, John sort of brought in. But there's some examples of baptism that the New Testament attributes from the Old Testament. And Peter talks about the first one in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he talks about Noah and his wife and his three sons and their daughters, and he qualifies what happened to them as a baptism. It's interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says this: in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, again, Peter's not saying that baptism saves us, but Noah and his family were saved from the flood by the ark. The ark that saves us is not going to be my hands dunking you in the water today. The ark is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves you. You understand? This is what we've been saved by. We've been saved by Jesus' work. We're not saved because of what we've done. We're saved because of what he did. And so it's his work on the cross that saves us. Baptism is just a sign of that. And it's an important sign, but it's a sign, you know? The ark, why haven't they been able to find pieces of Noah's ark? I believe God, even if they do exist, God is sort of hiding them. Because if they had pieces of Noah's ark, they would sell them on TBN. Right? And people would have it in their house. They would have it in their house to worship. And the reality is, the ark is not what saved people. God saved them. The ark was just the instrument, you know? And we're instruments that God uses, but God, none of us save anybody. Jesus is the only one who saves, and so it's by his cross. All right, and then Paul talks about this as well in 1 Corinthians as he looks at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And so the children of Israel, they leave Egypt, and they're fleeing from Pharaoh, and they come to the Red Sea, and they find themselves stuck between the Red Sea and now Pharaoh's pursuing army. If you don't know the story, it's a great story to read. And so as they come and as they find themselves in this place, God says to Moses, hey, take your rod and hold it out over the sea, and God parts the waters of the sea. Then the children of Israel, they all walked across on dry land. That's a miracle too. Not only was the sea parted, but the floor was dry enough to walk on. And so they're able to go through here. Then when Pharaoh follows them into the water, the walls crash down on top of them and drown them. And so Paul says, this is like a type of baptism too, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1. He says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So Paul says, listen, baptism is only important. It's only good if there's a baptism in water and the cloud. You might say, well, there's no cloud in here. Well, the cloud is the presence of God. The cloud was what kept, remember, the children of Israel were led through the wilderness. They were led out of Egypt. And behind them, between them and Pharaoh, was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. All right? So the cloud is the presence of God, which is why it's important for a person who gets baptized to be in the presence of God. It's why you can't baptize a person who doesn't love God. It doesn't do them any good. I mean, you could dunk a monkey, it's still a monkey, right? Doesn't change it from being a monkey. A dunk monkey is going to dry off. In fact, try this. Fill your tub up at your house. Dunk your dog. All right? Dunk your dog. And then, or better yet, dunk your cat. All right? Has anybody ever dunked a cat? Anybody? I have. I've dunked a cat too. That's right. We used to have one of our cats. We used to bring our cat into the pool with us. And this cat used to do the butterfly or the breaststroke or something. It was the funniest thing. Kismet, her name was, and the water was good for her actually because she had real thick fur and it made her fur soft. But she didn't really appreciate it too much. But if you dunk your cat or your dog, they're gonna shake off the water. Guess what? They're gonna still be your cat and dog. It doesn't change them. But see, when we're baptized through the water and through the cloud, it makes a difference. The cloud is the presence of God. And that's one reason why, you know, we like to baptize people that can make the decision on their own. You know, believer's baptism. All right, in Matthew chapter 28, we talked about these last couple weeks here. This great commission where Jesus gives also a command to baptize. He said in verse 18, he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Hold on, let me stop there just for a moment, because let me just address this real quick here, because there's a lot of talk today, you know, where we look at that and we say, because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, that we have the same authority as him. We have the authority to do what he tells us to do, okay? And so when you step outside that, you step outside the word of God. Let me just say that. Because there's a lot of talk today about dominion and kingdom theology that really has some Christians really getting off kilter. And I really don't hear that much from any of you folks, but just keep that in mind. You know, because I've heard people say, there's no sickness in heaven, there should be no sickness on earth. That's not what the Bible says. You understand? And so, you know, do I believe in healing? Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, you can't take a passage of scripture and twist it to mean what you want it to mean on that, okay? So this authority Jesus gave us was to do what he said we're to do, all right? And so he says to them here, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So here we see Jesus gives us authority to go, to teach, to preach, to baptize. You know, in Mark, it says that we're to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so these are the things that God has given us authority in the kingdom, all right? And so, and it's interesting here right now as well. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? According to what the Bible tells us to do. But there are some Pentecostals, in fact, that are called oneness Pentecostals. And if you really go back in history, in the assembly's history in 1914, when we were formed, there was a lot of oneness Pentecostals, and there was sort of this schism in the Assemblies of God between the oneness Pentecostals, the ones who only baptize in the name of Jesus, and the Pentecostals who baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is some history from your church. So there was a couple of guys in our fellowship back then that really formed the doctrinal basis for us to be able to become a Trinitarian group all across the board. Because there were many oneness Pentecostals in the Assemblies of God at the beginning back in 1914. But one of the guys who was really instrumental in having us come into what the true scriptures teach was a pastor by the name of J. Roswell Flower. J. Roswell Flower was one of our pastors here at Green Ridge. All right? And so it's an incredible thing. And so this idea of baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there are some people who believe you should only baptize in the name of Jesus because they're called oneness Pentecostals, all right? And so and we're not against them, but it's okay. What they believe is what they believe. We understand that there is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all right? And so we have no problem baptizing people in that name. And so today, when I baptize, I'll baptize you guys in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, every once in a while, I'm going to get off track, but can I tell you a funny story? All right, so every once in a while, you find Christians who they feel differently than you, and they just can't rest until you agree with them. Did you ever find people like that? How many of you are looking around the room and saying, I'm looking at one right now, okay? All right, so there is some, like, when I was early on in ministry, you know, when the pastor would go away, the nuts would come out. All right? No word of lie. That always happened that way. I'm in the church here, and Pastor, I think it was Pastor Garman was away, so this is going way back, and somebody comes running in there, Pastor Dave, there's somebody out on the steps. We used to have steps that went right down to the street, right down in front here. Somebody's out on the steps and he's causing trouble. Oh, okay. So I went out. I'm just this young guy. I might have been maybe 28 years old, maybe or so. And, you know, sure enough, there's this guy. And he's like, I knew what he was as soon as I saw him. He's got high water pants on, white socks, you know, dress shoes and like a tie. And he's not a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. So he's got to be a KJV only guy. You know what I mean? Right? You just do it. He's only King James guy. So he's like arguing with our people out, and some people are just like walking away from him, and others are trying to argue with him, and then somebody says, here's Pastor Dave. And so the guy turns to me and he goes, are you the pastor? And I go, I'm one of the pastors. Can I help you? And he goes, what version of the Bible do you guys use here? Because you know that's what they're all about, you know? And listen, just so you know, whatever version you use, if the Lord blesses it, use it. If it gets you to read it, use it, okay? All right? And I know there's some versions today that maybe they're not the most literal, whatever. If it gets you into the Word, the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. And so I said to the man, and so I had this moment of inspiration. I'm not going to argue with him. I said, sir, come with me. And I marched him into the back of the church. We used to have pews. We used to have pews with the Bibles in the pews. Remember that? Right? And so I said, grab that Bible right there. And he grabs the Bible and he looks at it. It's a King James Bible. And he goes, oh, thank you, sir. He puts the Bible and he walks away. I mean, just crazy, you know? Yeah. So I know a guy who was a pastor out. And listen, I love the King James. I was raised on the King James. When I quote King James. But when I read NIV or NLT or New King James, you know? And it's okay. Whatever you read. When I was a teenager, I got a Living Bible, and it just opened up so much for me. And it wasn't even a translation. It's a paraphrase. So whatever you use, just be blessed by it. But if your brother or sister is blessed by another version, don't bite their heads off, you know? So there was a man who was baptizing people in Southern California in the ocean out there. His name was Pastor Jamie, and he was baptizing somebody. And he goes, and now upon your provision of faith, I baptize you. And a big wave came and hit the both of them, you know, and knocked them both over. And he just is yelling, Jesus, as he dunks the person. They both get dunked by the wave. And so he was met by somebody who was a Jesus-only person and said to him, who do you baptize in? And so when they ask that question, you know exactly what they're asking because they're a Jesus-only person. And so he said to the guy, well, the last baptism I did, I baptized someone in the name of Jesus. And again, the guy was like, oh, thanks, brother. That's great. You know, anyway, listen, it's not the formula that gives the power. Right? It's not the formula that gives the power. It's the faith that gives the power. You know, there are people that are all freaked out today about calling Jesus by the wrong name. Listen, if my children called me, hey, you, I'm going to answer them. You understand? My grandchildren first came. James, him and Melissa had my first grandchild. People are like, what do you want them to call you? I said, I'm going to let them choose what they call me. So Lorelai called me Bumpa. So that's what I'm called by all my grandchildren. But if they call me a different name, guess what? I'm going to answer. You understand? It's not the formula that matters. It's the relationship that matters. It's faith that matters. You know, even the baptism today, without faith, without going through the cloud, it's irrelevant. But the power of God, the relationship that's there, changes everything. You know? And so baptism, we know. Let's go on here. Baptism follows repentance. In Acts chapter 2, John preached this. And again, it shook up the religious world because they really didn't talk much about repentance. It was all about forms and formula. You know, it was about showy stuff. And now it's not about any of that. It's about repentance. And so John comes along and preaches baptism. Jesus comes along, preaches baptism. And the apostles went along the same thing, and they preached baptism. In Acts chapter 2, in the first sermon in the church here on the day of Pentecost, Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And so the Holy Spirit had fallen on those people. They're speaking in tongues. And Peter comes along and says, "Hey, listen, you want, just repent and be baptized. This will happen to you too." Now, that's not even a formula either, because sometimes people get baptized in the Holy Spirit before they're baptized in water. Right, Lauren? Right? You know, so that happens. That's not even a formula. It's not like it has to happen this way, but it's available for us. Baptism is also a public accountability. It's a line in the sand, or like I've said before, it's a line in the water. We're buried with him in baptism, through baptism. In Romans chapter 6, it says this in verse 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So there's this beautiful thing that God gives us newness of life, but it's also a line in the sand. So listen, on that day in 1974, when I was baptized in water, I gave the right for my friends who saw me being baptized to call me on account if my life wasn't measuring up. All right? So it's sort of like, you know, when you walk down the aisle and ladies, you have that beautiful dress on and you've made yourself all up and you walk down the aisle and there's a special man standing over here next to the guy that's the special man right here. That's me. But like there's a special man over here. I mean, I'm like, whatever. You don't even notice me. But there's this guy here. And so the two of you, you come to the altar and you pledge yourselves to each other. And there are people in your bridal party that are there and there are people out in the congregation that witness what you did, right? So if your maid of honor or your best man find you running around with somebody else, don't they have a right to say to you, "Hey, didn't you pledge yourself to so-and-so?" Right? Isn't that right? So as when we get baptized, it's a public thing. It's not we don't get baptized in our bathtub at home. We don't get baptized in our pool in our backyard. It's a public thing, so people see it because it puts a line that we sort of write here that we allow people to be able to say to us, "Hey, didn't you make a pledge to Jesus? Why are you living like that?" You understand? And we should be able to do that with each other today, not in a spirit of, you know, condemnation, but at least be able to call each other onto account, right? You know, baptism is symbolic of what we have to do daily to follow Christ, and that's believe, lay down our cross, take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Christ, all right? So let me ask you this. If you're here today and you've been baptized, is your baptism up to date? Is it up to date? You know, when you have a certification in something, sometimes you got to take some CPUs to keep it certified, right? So is your baptism up to date? My brother, my sister, they're here today. Is your baptism up to date? I'm not saying you need to be dunked again. I'm saying maybe you need to come back to a place of repentance, getting back to your first love, going back and following Christ, doing what you need to do to get to a place where, once again, the Spirit is there. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day is with you. You're in that he's present in you. Is it up to date? Or do you need some recertification? You know, what does that look like for you? May you follow after him. Amen? Amen. Another ordinance that we have is the ordinance of Holy Communion. And so we're going to go to this here this morning. So Pastor Heather, if you come back up. And in this, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is interesting because when I did an ecumenical study with some of our other denominations, they were okay with our taking Eucharist because we used the right formula. And the formula is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, let me say this. The formula is not the important thing. The important thing is what Jesus has done. All right? It's not the words we say that make it powerful. What makes it powerful is the act of Christ in what he did. He died on the cross. So as we take this bread, it symbolizes his broken body for us. our taking the bread is not the important thing. The important thing is that Jesus' body was broken, right? You know? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes to us, and he gives us this spiritual formula. You know, he says, "For I have received from the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this bread is my body, which is broken for you.'" So, and then he told us to do it in remembrance of him. So the idea is that, yes, taking communion is important. It's one of our ordinances, but it doesn't assure us of salvation. What assures us of salvation is the fact that Jesus died on the cross. You know? I mean, this is, it's sort of like bread, I guess. You know, it's made of flour and water. It's baked. I'm assuming it's baked. What we eat is not important. It's what we're eating it for. It's to symbolize the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that his body was broken for us. And then the fact that he uses bread. Bread's available wherever you go in the world. It might be rice bread in Asia. It might be corn bread in Latin America. You know, it might be wheat bread or rye bread, but it's bread. Bread is bread is bread is bread. You know, it's simple. It's available for all people. And Jesus has given himself to all people today. Doesn't matter what your background is, what your history is, he's for you. And so, Jesus, as we partake of this bread in just a moment, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you for the love that you showed us, for the fact that you were pierced and bruised. You were tied to a stake and beaten. Your back was opened. Your body was opened so that, Lord, we can be healed. Thank you for the strength that we have each day. Thank you for giving us all that you have given us, for going the distance for us. We're blessed. We are yours this day. So, Lord, as we take this bread today, we remember you for the work you did for the body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake of the bread. Then in the same manner, after supper, he takes the cup. And it's a little tiny cup. You know, but it's symbolic of what Jesus has given to us. Man, He bled out for you. His blood was shed for you. He died on the cross. His blood dripped out of his body. In fact, even in his the cavity around his heart, it filled with water as he was literally drowning in his own liquid on the cross as his blood was coming out. And then the soldier comes up and shoves a spear up into his side. And in that, even what water and blood was there flowed out. So Jesus, he bled out for you and for me. And today we do this to remember him. It's not the act that's important. It's what his act was that's important. But we memorialize it today by taking this cup together. Jesus, we thank you for this cup that we share. Lord, for you it was a cup of suffering. For us it's a cup of blessing. Thank you, God, for all around this room. Lord, there's none of us in this room that this is denied to. This is something that you did that's available for all today. And Lord, it's not available for us because we're good. It's not available for us because we're perfect or because we're righteous or because we're holy. It's available to us today because you are good, you are perfect, you are righteous, and you are holy. And because you are those things, we can partake of this today. That even the debt of our sin was canceled by your name at the bottom of the page. Signed in red, signed in your own hand, signed in your own blood. You paid the debt for us. And this we receive from you so freely and so graciously today, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. We bless you. Thank you that you took your blood to the throne room in heaven and put it upon the heavenly altar as sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for this incredible work. We receive it from you with gladness in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the cup together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Heather's going to lead us in this one song here. As she does, anybody who's being baptized, if you can come to the front row, then we'll call you up one by one. I have a microphone here in the baptistry that we'll use. And we'll have you guys come forward for that. Pastor Heather, you can go ahead and lead them. Miss Laura, if you could please come up and help on that. Maybe even Pastor John, too, if you come up as well.
He's doing the camera.
What's that?
He's doing the camera. Would you stand with us this morning as we just sing out one more time this wonderful song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, that declares how God saved us, even when we were not worthy.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Okay, yeah, the water is nice and cool. It is. There's no ice cubes in it, but it's close. So anyhow, all right, so we're going to have each of you come up one by one. So Lauren, why don't you come on up here first right here? And you can come on over. I'm going to have you, Laura, can you give her the microphone that's on the piano over there? And Lauren, you can just sort of share your testimony with us there, and as much or as little as you want to share. Let's get a different mic here. Yeah, they're tough coming out. There we go.
Hello. Okay.
That's better.
Okay, so I said, I'll say what I said. My name's Lauren. I'm 21 years old, and I just want to share a little bit about my background when it comes to God. So I grew up in a theistic household. We believe that there was a God, but there was always kind of like a disconnect between me and God. And so something happened to me when I was like 15, 16 years old. And I was really searching for answers when it came to life and the current struggles I was dealing with. So I would go online and look up Christian websites about things that I was struggling with and Bible verses, and they would comfort me. So one night I just was like, I decided to go to the source, and I said, God, how can I know you better? And the next day I was on a road trip somewhere far away with my family, and I was in the backseat on my phone doing this again, just reading things on my phone about God. And I look up to the radio in the front, and instead of the name of the current song that's playing and the name of the radio station, there was one word on the screen, and it said Jesus in all caps. So I took from that afterwards. I got saved a month later in my bedroom from a YouTube video. And yeah, and what I came to know was what that radio miracle was to teach me was, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to God but by me. I experienced just the gloriousness of who Jesus is and the fact that I was known and loved and accepted. And things happened in my life after that, and I began to doubt if that actually happened to me, that experience. And so I found myself really not doing well once I forgot about God. Just like became a loner and insecure. And yeah, so last year I got into self-improvement and just trying to prove that I'm not a failure, that trying to prove something. And I got into diet and exercise, and I experienced the positives to that, but I also experienced negatives. And I got this really bad acne. I lost my secondary amenorrhea. I lost my period. And I would fall into these really deep, dark, depressive episodes, and just these feelings like I'm disgusting, like I'm worthless, I am, this just despair would come over me, and just doing regular things, I would just have these like bitter cries, and God had mercy on me. These weren't all the time, but so basically I threw myself back to God and was like, what a dreadful life it is to live without God. And I was in my room again and on this YouTube video, and I was on this video of God's people worshiping him. And it was like I was in the room, the atmosphere. I felt like this guy was leading worship, and I felt like I was there. The Holy Spirit came on me again, and it was just flooding back into me. Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. My life is not my own to live. It was paid for on the cross, as other believers are. And yeah, so I literally shed everything I was doing just to grasp back onto Jesus again. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit again. No pastor, no church. Jesus just wants to transform lives, and God is real. And yes. I learned, you know, it's his victory that's bestowed unto us. It's given to us. And it's powerful that we can walk in that victory. The fact that we are known and valued and accepted before we do anything, before we accomplish anything. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what we do. We're already valued and loved and accepted and redeemed in Jesus as children of God. And I think that's powerful to walk in that. And I want to obey a God like that. And I definitely have experienced the power that he embodies that I experienced is a little terrifying. So I want to obey him in that way too by getting water baptized today. So thank you.
And Timmy, you could come up and stand up here on deck, okay?
Yes. Amen. Well, what a testimony. And, you know, the first time I met you, you called the office and you said, I need to come in and talk because I don't know what's going on. And she was just, the Holy Spirit was just on her. You know, she was just speaking in tongues and shaking, and God's presence was there. And it was wonderful. You know, the Word of God tells us that if we seek Him with all of our heart, we'll find Him. And, Lauren, you have sought Him with all your heart, you know?
Nothing else compares. Like, I feel like I've tried everything else. And, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we gladly baptize you today. And again, today, this is just a symbol of what God has already done. As she goes down into the water, it symbolizes death. As she comes back up, it symbolizes newness of life. Jesus has already done this in her. She's already done it. We're just verifying what Jesus has already done. Amen? Amen. So, Lauren, go ahead. I'm going to grab your shoulder and your hand here. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to baptize you, okay? All right? Jesus, I thank you so much for Lauren. I thank you, God, that Lord, she has sought you. And Lord, you didn't hold yourself back from her. You revealed yourself to her as she was hungry. Now, Lord, I have to believe that there's so much more that you have for her in the days to come. That there's a greater outpouring, a greater ministry, a greater calling upon her life, O Lord, that you'll fulfill in her, O Lord. And then use her as well to be a blessing to those who are seeking. Because there's many, Lord, who are seeking, who feel like their life is worthless. But Lord, you have shown her that her life is not worthless. It's worth because you have given her worth, O Lord, and that you've created her and you've made her to be who she is. So now, Lord, help her as well to challenge and encourage those around her to be able to experience this as well. So we pray a blessing on Lauren today, on this day and on the days to come. Fill her, O God, in greater ways. And we thank you for all of this. Now, Lauren, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Which way do I go?
Praise the Lord. Laura, she'll help you out there.
Praise the Lord. That might be the coldest water she's ever swam in, I'll tell you that. It's true. Timmy, is Timmy up here? Yeah. Do you want to come in here, Timmy, and share in here? Is Timmy Vaughn, is he up on stage? No? Timmy's, okay. All right, let's do Don and Gloria then. We'll do Don and Gloria first. Timmy's just getting changed probably. Oh, Timmy, are you there? Come on up, Timmy. No? Don and Gloria?
Mary, do they have their towels and stuff with them?
Yeah, why don't you bring them up for her? That'd be great for them. That'd be cool.
Good?
Yeah, made it. Well, very few people know me. I'm Don, my wife Gloria. In case you wonder, she's from the Philippines. 43 years marriage. And the way I met Jesus, it was a Good Friday. It was the last Good Friday. I'm out there doing civic duty, picking up dog doo-doo, and I had vertigo, and I went down. 9 days in the hospital, didn't know who I was, where I was, and then I came out, and the first word to meet Mary. She helped us through. Mary was our next door neighbor, better next door neighbor, best neighbor I ever had. Oh yeah, I'm sick. Okay, I mean not difficult sick, but I didn't want to come today because first of all, it was last Friday. I'm sitting there watching the Bible stories on TV, Mary came over, sat down there, and started talking about it. And I was there, Blue. I said, I want to be baptized again. And I knew nothing about what's going on today. God's will. Amen. Amen.
Okay, my name is Gloria, and I'm almost married 44 years to my husband. I'm from the Philippines, and I thank God for Mary to bring us over here. And I was surprised to my husband. I'm an orc. He told me that he want to be baptized. And then I said, oh, I'm so proud of you, and it's amazing. You're going to get baptized, and maybe I can do it with you. So we're here, and thank you.
Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who wants to be baptized first?
Yeah. All right, so as they're coming in, you know, isn't that amazing that, like, you know, our neighbors are searching for God too. Our neighbors are looking for spiritual help, and I thank God that Mary was able to be there in their lives to do that. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now listen, it's not just for the young, and it's not just for the old, it's for all. God has a plan for Dawn and for Gloria too, right?
Amen? 75 years old.
75 years old, that's right. And hey, praise the Lord. Listen, whatever time God has for you, he has a plan for your life, Dawn.
He sure does.
You know, and we're glad to be part of that as well, and thank you for, isn't it amazing how that, you know, they didn't even know, he didn't know there was a baptism, he just said, I feel like I need to be baptized, and Mary's like, we're having one on Sunday. How cool is that? You know, God uses us to minister to each other. So I'm going to pray for you, Don, then I'm going to baptize you. Jesus, I thank you for Don. Thank you for his life, oh God. Lord, thank you for these 75 years, and thank you for the years to come. We pray a blessing upon him. I pray for healing in his body, even as we talked about healing this morning. Lord, through your broken body, may his body be healed. May he be strengthened, and may he walk in strength spiritually as well as physically, oh God. You have a plan for him. Accomplish this now in his life, and we thank you, God, for the faith that's in his body and in his spirit even now. And now, Don, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he did okay. Praise God. I've never lost one in the tank yet. It's not, that's right. It's not a dunk tank. But there was one guy I baptized. He was pretty big. I pushed him down twice to get him under. So, Gloria, come on in. Almost 44 years.
In October, this year.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, we're thankful for the faith. So the Lord brought you here from the Philippines.
We met in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
Take it off?
Yeah. No, you can take your mask off, too, if you want.
Then I met my husband. He don't even know my name.
Yeah?
He asked me to marry me.
Well, that was a good choice
he
made.
He asked me to marry me that I don't even know his name, and I was amazing. I was surprised, and I said, you don't even know me. Why don't you know me better? Just first time I see you, but then. I don't even know. We work together.
Yeah.
We work together at the place, not terminal. I work there as a custodian. And I work in a, you really put in a flat line or the airplanes?
Yeah.
I work in the small snack bar in cafeteria.
Nice.
At the place there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
44 years together.
Almost 44 years.
That's awesome.
This year.
Well, Gloria, the Lord has a plan for you guys for the days to come as well. And he has a plan for your life. And we're thankful for you, for your coming to church here and for the faith that's in your heart. And we just want to affirm that today through baptism. So thank you for doing this and being able to do it with your Amen. Husband as well. It's marvelous. Okay. Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Let me pray for you, okay? So Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for Gloria's life. We thank you, Lord, for the journey that she's been on from the Philippines to here. Thank you for these almost 44 years with Don. I pray a blessing on them as a couple and upon her as an individual. Bless her, Lord. Help her to grow in these days that you have given her now and help her to become more fruitful, that, Lord, she would be a blessing to Don, to others as well. Work out these things that you have put in her heart and help her to be able to fulfill the plans that you have given to her as well. We thank you that the plans you have for her are good plans with a hope and a future. And for this, we are grateful. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness in Gloria's life. And now, Gloria, upon your profession
you,
of
Lord.
Faith,
thank you, God.
I baptize you
thank
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, my God. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. For we have three kids, three boys, and my husband. Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord. God bless you, Gloria.
Thank you. God bless.
And there's your mask and your lap.
Right.
All right, well, praise the Lord. So that's it, I think. Is that it? Is that it? Yes? Nope. All right. All right, well, hey, listen, it has been an honor to be here today, and thank you for being here on this. You know, they call it a Super Sunday. I believe it is a Super Sunday. Amen? Amen. We received the Lord's Supper together. We saw some folks get baptized. And it is wonderful. I hope that encouraged your heart as well. Those of you who have been baptized, man, every time I see it, it just really brings joy to our hearts. Amen? Amen. Lord, bless your people now. Send them forth with blessing. Lord, help them to go forward with the power of God, with the sword of the Spirit in their hands and the word of God upon their lips. Bless them and make them a blessing in the lives of those that they have contact with now today. And we'll thank you and praise you for all this. Lord, we pray a special blessing on these ones who have been baptized, Lord, for Don and Gloria, Lord, for Lauren, Lord, for their lives. We pray a blessing upon them. And for others, even in this congregation, Lord, we know you have a plan for us. And so, Lord, may tomorrow be a new day in our lives. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you, folks. Have an awesome, awesome week.